You're listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Follow our Mixcloud account now and never miss an episode. Check us out on Twitter at Between Stripes. Search us on Facebook and Instagram, Between the Stripes. And add us on Snapchat, BTS1924. For more, see our website, betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.
You're all very welcome to episode 8 of the Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. I can't believe we're on episode 8 already, John. We're really flying through them now. But it's a European / FAI Cup special this week. I'm going to debate with John where it went wrong last week for the Irish clubs. Heartbreak for Cork City and Dundalk in particular. We're going to be joined by John O'Sullivan. Of course, he's the former chairman of Cork City and the CEO at Limerick and Athlone Town. So he's going to give us a perspective on the running of clubs and just how difficult it is for clubs to succeed in Europe. We have a brilliant interview with League of Ireland legend Pat Flynn. We have some international flavour on this week's show. Jacopo is going to join us over the phone from Italy to give us his international perspective on the League of Ireland. We're going to look at the FAI Cup draw, and we have a brilliant interview with Ballincollig captain David Sweeney ahead of their big home tie against Athlone Town. And we'll also look back at all the recent results and the upcoming fixtures in the League of Ireland. Welcome to episode 8 of the Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. So once again this week, I want to welcome my co-host John Breyer. John, heartbreaking week in Europe.
Evening, Kieran. Yeah, oh, so disappointing, wasn't it? You know, with such high expectations. But I suppose in the bottom of my heart, I knew it was going to be very difficult for either of our clubs to get through this week. And so it proved to be.
So if you were going to pick out the biggest disappointment of all, would it be Cork City or Dundalk?
Well, I think it's going to be Cork, really, because of the way they're playing at the moment this season. But, you know, I mean, we'll talk about the match in a minute. But they just got a tough draw, didn't they? And do you know what? The biggest problem I think that all the teams have had is being drawn with the home leg first.
Mm. Well, I think when that draw came out, a lot of people looked at it and said, Cork City can get through this. But when you looked at the Larnaca squad, they had so many players that had played in La Liga and players that are probably on a lot more money than are the Cork City players are. Realistically, it was going to be tough. And as you mentioned, the second leg coming away from home in 30 degrees of heat over in Cyprus, not something our League of Ireland players would be used to. So that definitely made it a lot tougher for Cork. But my biggest disappointment with the whole thing, they just never really seemed to lay a glove on them over the two legs.
Yeah, let's have a look at that fixture. So Larnaca against Cork, they created very little that second leg. There was a penalty shout at one stage.
Shawnee Maguire picked up and thrown down in the box.
Yeah, it was bundled over in the box. It should have been a penalty, you know, but it wasn't given. It should have been given. Mm-hmm. Would it have changed the match? It could have done. It could have.
Yeah, it would have given Cork a bit of momentum, but of course they would have still needed another one, so it was always going to be difficult. Just said decisions like that don't help, but as I said, they just really didn't seem to lay a glove on Larnaca over the two legs.
No, and they had to get a result in the first leg, I feel. And, you know, you were talking about Larnaca and people just saw the name, Cypriot club, they expected Cork to, you know, win that one, but when you look at the setup there they've got and the amount of Spanish Extraliga players, it was always going to be very, very difficult. A lot of experience in that team. And, you know, it was always going to be a big step up for Cork with that one. And a step too far, unfortunately.
Speaking of great setups, John, Rosenberg overcame Dundalk. Absolutely heartbreaking for the Lilywhites. They were so close, yeah, so far.
Yeah, and it was a fingertip onto the crossbar, wasn't it? There was a difference between Dundalk going through and Dundalk, unfortunately, going out. Such a close shave, really. And you know, I think Dundalk can hold their heads up high, but really in that second leg, they played well first half, but they were well outplayed second half, unfortunately.
Yeah, all three goals in the two legs were totally avoidable. Sean Gannon was brilliant in the first leg, where he was badly caught for the equalising goal in the second leg. You know, it was in the first leg. Then we had Brian Gartland lose his man for the equaliser.
Yeah.
So just some poor defending, and that was our biggest fear with Dundalk, that the back four just wasn't as strong this season with the likes of Andy Boyle missing, and that's what's come back to haunt them. So I think Kenny will look to address that for next season.
And I was just about to say to you, Kieran, Dundalk from last season, they'd have beaten Rosenberg.
Yeah, you would have. You know, that was an amazing effort in the last minute from Kilduff. But can you imagine if Darragh Horgan was there? It could have just been a split second and he has a goal in the net. Just missing that little bit of quality. Even with Connolly hasn't got going yet at all at Dundalk. I know it's early days.
It's early days.
Michael Duffy hasn't clicked. McElhenney, I thought, was good over the two legs, but just couldn't find that goal. So they're just missing that little bit of spark that Horgan brought last season.
Yeah, and McElhenney wasn't allowed the space that he would have been allowed in League of Ireland either as well. You've got to, you know, when you're going into Europe, these teams are going to be a lot tighter. They're going to be well drilled. They'll have done their homework. They knew exactly what threat McElhenney had, and you know that's how they snuffed it out.
So that was disappointing. But Shamrock Rovers, I think it was no surprise really after the first leg result.
Kieran, I want to focus on that match a bit because I mean that was the one match to me that showed me the difference between League of Ireland sides and where we are in Europe currently, because they were taking on fourth
best team in the Czech Republic.
And you look at the first goal that Rovers conceded, and it was awful defending. But looking at the second goal that they scored, it was
a thing of beauty.
It was. But you know, if the League of Ireland side had have done that, we'd have been absolutely raving about it.
Definitely.
But the defending, I'm afraid, it's just not good enough at that level.
They leaked goals over the two legs and that. And again, I think that's something that everyone had pinpointed going into the game, that the Rovers' defence just wasn't tight enough, and that was proven to be. And you're not going to get away with that in Europe.
Yeah, and players that we see do really well in the League of Ireland, at that level, the creative players are snuffed out by those teams.
So, John, we're going to get John O'Sullivan on shortly to discuss where we need to go in Europe, what the League of Ireland clubs need to do to take that next step and close the gap, as you've mentioned. But from your point of view, I'd love to hear your opinion on that. What do we need to do with League of Ireland clubs?
Well, I think, to be honest, we were a bit unlucky with the draws. Because
that out of the equation, though, next year, let's say equally tough draws, or even 5 years down the line, equally tough draws, what do the League of Ireland clubs need to do to bridge that gap?
It's hard, because the way the European competitions are set up, we're always going to be up against it with the seedings. So you know, we could get, you know, even worse draws next time out. That's a possibility.
Good performances, though, you'd imagine should bring. I know Dundalk last season, but it just wasn't enough compared to the other sides to get a seeded place.
Yeah, if they'd have scraped a few more points in that league section, then maybe they would have. But I think what we've got to look at is holding on to the superstars another year or two. So, yeah, I know we lost Horgan there. I know we're going to lose Shawnee Maguire, but we've got to come up with some kind of way of holding on to those type of players that can make a difference in Europe. Because otherwise, we're starting to look very mediocre against some of these sides. And unless you've got a few players that can really change the game, then you're always going to be struggling. So,
is that realistic, though, John? If you're a League of Ireland player, a club from England or further afield comes in, big money, you're playing in big crowds every week, you're going to be on television every week, you're not going to turn it down.
You can't deny a player a move, can you? But it's chicken and egg. Anyway, we've got to get some success in Europe to try and keep these players. And to do that, we have to get the investment into the clubs. But you're going back to that whole FAI discussion, which is where, you know, it'd be good to talk to John later about this.
I think personally, I know what you're saying about trying to keep on to the superstars, but my point of view would be that the new underage setup, I think we're going to see the fruits of that over, it's probably going to take 10 years.
Yeah.
But we'll have young superstars coming out of that league. They're going to get a couple of years of actual playing experience. It's not going to be like we've seen in the past where players come up, they're spotted and they go to England 16, 17 years of age, they come back, they failed in England and they probably just have a mediocre League of Ireland career. We're going to see players now playing for a couple of years, maybe at the top clubs, getting European experience. Then they're going to get their big move, a la Shawnee Maguire. So I think that's the way forward for our League of Ireland clubs.
And also, seasoned professionals, we don't want them coming back from England for that last payday when they're 37, 38 and completely at the twilight of their career. If we can pull some of these ex-internationals over when they're maybe 32, around that age, and we have the right structure in place, then you'll see a better team.
We're starting to see that now, though. We've had Owen Garvin in there recently come back, and there's always players of that ilk kind of been linked to the League of Ireland.
Yeah, but I think you've got to remember where Garvin was playing as well, and we saw, and I'm going back to the likes of Conor Cliff, players that were playing in England, but maybe not at the right type of level. We need to be, you know, looking a bit higher and hopefully getting a higher standard over when they're, you know, a few years before they retire. I mean, we had Keith Gillespie, but at his age when he joined Longford, you know, his career was pretty much over. We need to be picking these players up earlier, Kieran.
Yeah, but finally, John, does it all come back to resources? Like you're mentioning there, trying to look higher up the leagues in England to bring players over. We're struggling to keep the players that we have, so how is it possible that we can look to bring more players in from a higher standard? It all comes down to resources, really.
It does, yeah, and funding, and it's, you know, it's a, there's got to be some kind of, we, the FAI talk about all these plans, these five-year plans, but there has to be something done to, you know, to help the clubs to be able to bring the standard up. You look at where our coefficient is overall in Europe. We're ranked way down. Mm. And for a country as Ireland, we should be much higher up the coefficients than where we are. And it's restricting the development of the clubs in Europe.
Well, certainly interesting debate with yourself, John, but we'll get John O'Sullivan on now. I'm sure that's going to be equally as interesting. So we're joined now by a very special guest on this week's episode. It's the former chairman at Cork City and the CEO at Limerick and Athlone Town. It's one of the most respected authors, in my opinion, that writes on League of Ireland for the 42.ie. It's John O'Sullivan. John, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
John, the European heartbreak last week for our clubs in Europe, Dundalk and Cork City, I suppose, in particular, would be, I wouldn't use the word letdowns, but they're perhaps the most disappointing ones. What were your take on the results?
Yeah, it was disappointing, all right. I think, though, it kind of showed overall that the second round in Europe is probably where our standard is currently. I think we've consistently, over a number of years, have gotten through first qualifying rounds in the Europa League and the Champions League. And really, after that, it's down to the draw and who you come up against. I know when Cork City drew Larnaca, you know, the initial kind of reaction from myself and other Cork City fans would have been, look, it's a Cypriot team. We should be well capable of getting results here. But obviously, when you were facing them, it was very obvious early on in the game in Turner's Cross that they were very strong, very physical, very well-organised unit with a couple of fantastic players. And then when you look at the budgets they have compared to City, you know, there was a gulf there. It's disappointing, all right, that we never got in behind them, I guess, and never really tested their keeper across the two games. Especially, that's kind of what the season's been built on for City this year so far, is, you know, just all-out attack, really, in many ways. I think we missed Alan Bennett hugely. But I think there was a gulf. I think you can't argue over the two legs, the best team won, and similar enough in Dundalk. They'll probably look back in the goals they conceded and the time they conceded them in particular, you know, to go into the lead in both games and concede in both games just before half-time. But they've pushed a very, very good Rosenberg side right to the extra time. And when you look at the situation, like the stadium they were playing in and the budget they were facing, there is just a gulf there. You know, I'd imagine Nicholas Bentner probably is on more money than the squad in Dundalk will get in a month. He probably picked that up every week. So there is a gulf there. It's not going to be easy to close it. But I think, you know, one of the main things we can do is, like, young players that are coming through, hanging on to them that little bit longer. I think we're seeing now that players like Seanan Maguire, Kevin O'Connor, James McLean, even in recent years, they're starting to hang on and play a couple of years in the League of Ireland before going cross channel. I think that's adding to our strength in Europe year on year, so I hope we continue it. But also, I think it's raising the profile here as these lads go on inevitably to win international caps.
Yeah, you mentioned the gulf in class, John, and how young players could maybe help close that in the coming years. But at the end of the day, does it come down to finances and resources for our League of Ireland clubs?
It does. I mean, look, in City's case in particular, and I mean, look, I was at the home leg and watched the away leg on Air Sport, but technically and in terms of our organisation, that Larnaca probably were a step above us. We have to factor in that they were in their pre-season, effectively, Cypriots play in a winter league. But they were very, very physically very strong. They had a lot of players who had played in La Liga, who had a lot of experience. But I guess their model compared to our model, their model was very much about money being pumped into the club and getting players that were on the wane or on the way down their career, fellas that had formerly been in La Liga, formerly in, you know, top European leagues, and I think there was a former Man City player with them as well. Whereas Cork City is more about the lads that are coming through from a young age. I mean, Gerald Morrissey now and Gary Buckley both have been with Cork City for a number of years. Gerald obviously went back and forth. Seanan Maguire, Kevin O'Connor, even though they moved on now, City's focus really probably over the coming years is who we can bring through, what young players coming into the league we can develop. I mean, I think this time next year you'll see Kieran Sadler be a revelation in Europe. I mean, once he gets to, you know, hits kind of the targets that John Coughlin was setting him, and, you know, he starts to get to know the team itself and play with them a little bit better, I think he's going to be a phenomenal player for City. So I think young players are kind of the future for City and League of Ireland clubs, whereas Larnaca have that money to offer, I guess.
I suppose the cynic, John, sorry, John, I suppose the cynic would say that why don't our League of Ireland clubs maybe look to follow that model and look and get investment in? But in recent times, have we seen the danger, I'm talking particularly about Athlone Town, maybe Bray as well, of relying on big money coming in and dreams of European football?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at, take Rosenborg. I mean, they play in a massive stadium with a massive support, and in their domestic league, the TV money they get is, well, I mean, I was going to say it's multiples of the League of Ireland, but the League of Ireland is zero, so multiples of zero is zero. But, you know, they have income streams that aren't reliant completely on the gates. So, I mean, sponsorship revenue and particularly TV money and gate receipts, like if you look at any UEFA benchmarking reports, typically in clubs around Europe, they'll break down around, you know, your gate receipts, your TV money. And in the average European league, and your sponsorship would be about a third of your income each. In the League of Ireland, your gate receipts can count up to 60 to 70% of your income over the season. There is no TV money. So if your gate receipts are what defines who can bring in and what money you can put into it, and you're playing in front of crowds of a couple of thousand, if you're looking in the League of Ireland, that sets where your bar is in terms of the player you can bring in. So your focus is always going to be in developing young lads. I mean, we've had clubs in the past, like going back into the early 2000s, Dublin City brought Carlton Palmer over. You know, it adds a little bit of novelty and a little bit of interest here and there, but realistically, it doesn't add that much on the playing field, because what these lads can impart are at the stage we can get them. You know, they're that bit moved on. I mean, when I was at Limerick, I had an agent offer me Franny Jeffers that had probably played with Arsenal, and while and Lewis Beaumarty as well from Fulham, that had played with Fulham, but they would be commanding very big wages. And are you going to get enough people in through the gate to justify what you're going to have to pay them, and can that be detrimental? And I think in the Bray situation, they've put in money into the squad without any real thought on, you know, is the catchment area there within Bray to bring enough people into the gate to fund that. And realistically, where we are right now in the League of Ireland, you'll have some clubs that can support full-time professionalism, but it is a semi-pro league right now with the financial structure we have and everyone reliant on gate receipts. That's just the reality of it.
Can the FAI do more, John, to maybe grow it towards them? Maybe not all of our teams as full-time teams. I think that's unrealistic given the catchment areas of some clubs. But maybe 10, 12, 14 teams. Is there ever going to be a stage where League of Ireland teams can play at a professional level?
Yeah, no, I think you, like, we, even though it was built in a bubble, there was a period in the 2000s where, you know, we were very close to having a full-time league. And obviously, now that wasn't sustainable at the time. But I think there's definitely actions that the FAI can take to help drive the league forward. Right now, they're not putting much money into it. I would be wary of giving money directly to clubs, because, to be frank about it, clubs handed a pot of cash will invariably spend that cash on players.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there.
Might buy intermediate success, but it's not going to help in the long term. I think, look, things like the under 19 league, the under 17 league, the under 15 league will cause trouble. The under 13 league is going to be chaos when they eventually try to move it through. But I think those things that the FAI have done are positive for the league. But where it falls down is when the focus is so much on the senior team, and the travel grants for an under 19 team or an under 17 team is 500 quid a year. So you're not running that. So the clubs. Some clubs take it seriously. Some clubs, it's a burden, you know, young teams. But the FAI, look, they probably get criticism in areas that clubs should be taking it on themselves. But there's certainly areas, especially in terms around marketing, promotion, pushing the game, helping build its profile, that need to be taken a lot more seriously. And as well, you know, I hope if these, you know, claims that we'll be debt free on the Aviva by 2020, if that comes to pass, like the association paying millions into that pot every year, you hope that a lot of that will come the League of Ireland's way to help push us on.
John, we won't keep you too much longer. You've been very generous with your time, but just one topic I'd love to ask you on, because I know you've written a lot about it for the 42.ie, the PCA. What's your views on the group? Is it been worked in the right way? Obviously, First Division clubs are excluded presently. I know you've written an article saying that there's no reason First Division clubs can't form their own alliance. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, look, I think your starting point with the PCA has to be the realisation that the FAI don't have a hot to piss in, frankly. You know, we like whatever the critic, whatever criticism you can lay on them in terms of support in manners that aren't financial, everyone has to be realistic and just own up to the fact that the FAI right now are saddled by the Aviva debt, so there isn't money there. So clubs have to get together and say, okay, the FAI aren't going to help us in these areas, how do we help ourselves? And I think, like, I was involved in the early stages of the PCA. I represented Limerick on it when I was CEO there, and I still feel it is probably the league's best chance to push forward is clubs working together and being clever about how they can support each other and what they can do to drive the league on. I've written for the 42 about things like league-wide kit deals that push responsibility for the provision of kit onto a major supplier rather than everyone going around with smaller firms and the inevitable money issues that causes and supply issues that causes. I think the clubs working together, helping each other in terms of best practice and sharing that across the league is positive. And also, I threw out a radical idea a couple of years ago. I think that there was an appetite at one stage a few years ago that a proportion of the money that league clubs win in Europe could be put into a centralised pot so that the clubs themselves can push forward the promotion of the league and everything else. So my idea I've actually proposed it to clubs in the past was that if we say there's 506,000 approximately that comes into the league every year to four clubs based on their qualification for European football. If you took half of that every year into a pot and let clubs keep the money they win through the subsequent rounds in Europe, you've got a quarter million a year that you could run a proper league office, because to be frank about it, the FAI don't have dedicated league staff as I can see it. Mm. They have people who are double jobbing or sharing responsibilities for other departments. I mean, Fran Gavin used to be director of the league, now he's competition director. He looks after all junior competitions, schoolboy competitions, female competitions. That they're spread too thin, and there is no one looking at the league as a whole right now in Abbottstown. So I think clubs have to take it on themselves. And while the First Division clubs not being part of it is a drawback, like I said, as you alluded to there, there's nothing to stop them forming something themselves and then going to the FAI and going to the PCA and say, look, this is what we're about. There's different challenges in the Premier Division, the First Division, and the First Division one's arguably more serious because it doesn't have the profile that the Premier Division do. But, I mean, you can stand outside the PCA and you can say, oh, look at them, they're excluding us. Or you can say, lads, look at what they've done. Why don't we do the same? You know, and the choice is there. And something I pointed to before, of the eight teams in the First Division currently, six of them have sat on the PCA at some stage in the few years it's been in existence. So they know what's involved. There's nothing to stop them going in and organising something.
Well, John, you've been more than generous with your time. We want to thank you very much for coming on the show and keep up the great work with the 42.ie. We're really, really enjoying it here at Between the Stripes.
All right, lovely. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for having me on.
Cheers, John. Take it easy.
Cheers.
So absolutely brilliant to have John O'Sullivan on the show this week, John.
Yeah, absolutely. And somewhere in Limerick, somebody is dreaming of Franny Jeffers and Lewis Boamorty holding aloft the Champions League.
Brilliant.
What could have been for Limerick?
Brilliant. Very surprising there, but that's just the madness of the League of Ireland and things that go on. So great to get the inside scoop from John. It's great to have someone that's been actually involved in running the club on the show. It just gives it a totally different perspective to what we're used to.
Exactly.
So to round up our European debate, John, we're going to get some playing perspective from a man who played in the group stages of the Europa League. He also won a First Division title with Longford, a long way away from Europe, I know, but we're going to throw that in there anyway. Of course, it's the League of Ireland legend, that is Pat Flynn, and this is an interview I recorded with himself earlier on today. So I'm joined by a very special guest on this week's show. It's a former Longford Town player, a league winner with the town in 2014, and a man, of course, who played many games in Europe with Shamrock Rovers. It's a bit of a personality, if you want to call him, within the League of Ireland. It's Pat Joe Flynn. Pat Flynn, welcome to the show.
How are you, Borka? How's things? Are you well?
Thanks for joining us, Pat. So, we're having the discussion this week on the show, Pat, about, the European results last week, and the disappointment of particularly Dundalk and Cork City not making it through. You're a man that played in many European games and went on that great run in the Europa League with Shamrock Rovers. Where do you feel it went wrong this season for the Irish clubs?
It's hard to pinpoint it, to be honest with you. I think Dundalk, they may have overachieved last year, maybe not, but these European teams, if they get a result in Ireland, that's a chunk of the job done, because they're different teams away from home. I think they lifted up a gear or two when they're at home, so you have to try at least keep a clean sheet. It happened to Rovers as well. I went up to watch Rovers, and the other team, I think, were a lot better technically. And if you don't get a result in Ireland, trying to go over there and get a result is pretty tough to do. So it could have been something to do with that. But you look at Dundalk's draw, it's a tough draw against Rosenberg. They're a huge team, so it was always going to be tough. But they did okay. I watched the first half of the game, the second half of extra time. I thought they did the first 20 minutes. I thought Dundalk bombarded them over there. It's just at home is where you have to be doing it, I think, in Europe to go through.
Yeah, Cork City's game in particular, the away leg, 30 degrees of heat, very difficult conditions for Irish players to play in. Did you ever experience anything like that during your playing career?
Well, we went to Israel and it was something similar as well. It was just a dead heat. It's really hard. We needed water breaks. We tried to break up play as much as we could, just so we could get water on board. But it's so hard, especially for Irish players. We're not used to that heat, and those teams know how to move the ball, so you can be chasing a lot. There's only so much put them under pressure, really, you can do. You run out of steam doing it for a while, but I think you just have, that's when you have, your big players have to step up, and in the heat like that, you need to keep the ball. That's the key, especially in warmer climates.
Yeah, rightfully or wrongfully, I suppose when people think of Irish teams in Europe, they think of, as you mentioned there, they go out and get them kind of mentality. But obviously we've seen with Dundalk and to a certain extent Cork City, they're playing much more technical football. Since you've stopped playing, or since you played in Europe, how do you feel the standard of technicality among Irish teams? Has it risen or has it dropped?
Yeah, I think it's risen. I probably think that has risen, and the physicality bit in the game has gone out of it a bit, which it's nearly catch 20. But the results have shown that technically if you're doing it, like Cork have progressed in recent times. Dundalk did really well. Rovers, we did really well when I was there as well. And it was with technically better players than just the whole put them under pressure type thing and just chasing the ball. So it is the way forward, but I feel that physical bit is going out of the game as well, which it is needed, especially in Ireland, like if you want to win leagues and all. But in Europe, maybe not as much, but I think technically we're getting there. We're going in the right direction.
I suppose the biggest challenge now for the clubs is how do they progress from here? As you mentioned, Dundalk, probably a victim of their own success last season. Shamrock Rovers, their run, they haven't really pushed on since then. Why do you feel that is? And what's the biggest challenge for Irish clubs? Does it simply come down to resources and finances at the end of the day?
I think it does. Like, we have a small pool of players to choose from. Realistically, if Dundalk could pick from any players, or Rovers could pick from any players of the league, who would you take in to improve your team? There's not many. I think we need to start maybe looking outside a bit, or with the new youth systems coming through. But that the fruits of that probably won't be shown for another 8 to 10 years. It could be by the time that comes through. So money is a big issue. These lads have the money to watch us, especially Dundalk did really well last year. So team, I think they were a bit unknown going into it last year. Teams might not have the scouting reports they would, but because they did so well last year, they'd have a bit more background information on them.
Speaking of the youth setups now within the League of Ireland teams, your good friend Stephen Rice, of course, heavily involved with Shamrock Rovers. Has he looked for Pat Flynn to go in and maybe give the kids a couple of tackling drills?
I'm in coaching with him since the start of the season with the 17, so I'm enjoying it. That's one of the things I was brought in to do, was help with the defence. I personally feel people might disagree, I was good at 1v1 defending.
Cristiano Ronaldo knows all about it, Pat.
He does.
You can send me the check later for that one.
No problem. But that's I'm in with the youths, and it's really good to see. From my point of view, I played and I didn't really take a lot of notice of the youths or even the DDSL. In the last 2 years, I started to go back to watch my old club, Joey's, and all, to see the work that's going on behind the scenes is it's really good. And now Rovers have I think they've kicked it on a level. They've the new facilities up there, Rollstone and Astro. Mm. There's a new pitch going in. There's an outdoor gym, and there's plans for more as well. And it's just getting the players in now and hoping that they buy into it.
We couldn't have you on, Pat, without asking you about the 2014 season, Longford Town winning the First Division for the first time in their history. And you played a major part of that, along with Rhys Gorman as the two centre-backs. How fondly do you look back on those memories now?
Obviously, I'm a Rovers fan, but besides those seasons I had with Rovers, that was one of my favourite seasons in the league. The one after with Longford was very good as well. I think we finished sixth, but it was a big thing for me to drop down the league, and then Pat Sullivan got on board and Royce got on board as well, and the aim was to drop, to come back up, because if you drop down to that league, you can get stuck in it and forgotten about. But we're winning every week, and we sort of rekindled my love for the game because of the couple of seasons at Pat's and Shell's where it became nearly a job, football did, but I enjoyed working under Tony, and we got the results, and the next season went on and pushed on again. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah, and of course you scored two goals during your spell at the Longford Town, having only scored one previously, which I actually only realised today. Your first ever League of Ireland goal came for St. Pat's against Shamrock Rovers. What kind of a feeling was that as a Rovers man?
To be honest, the ball dropped to me. I think I got Conor Powell out of position. I chested it and stuck it in the bottom corner. And the place went so quiet, except for the Pats fans went wild. And inside, I was delighted to score. But I couldn't show up because I'd be afraid my van would be on bricks after. But I went into the dressing room. And it was 1-1, so we didn't celebrate too much. But I was just happy to score. I froze. I didn't know what to do. You know yourself, with my two goals at Longford, I'm not a prolific celebrator of goals. So it was enjoyable.
So final question, Pat. You've mentioned there that you're involved with the under-17s now, Rovers. Can we expect to see any more of Pat Flynn in the League of Ireland in any capacity in the coming years?
Hopefully not. I'm trying my best to keep the lads playing with an edge, but not going over that edge. So hopefully not. My little boy is starting to play now as well. He's over at Crumlin, and he already has that temper, so I'm going to try my best to get that out of him first, and then we'll concentrate on the Rovers lads.
Maybe a social media job with some of the clubs might open up for yourself.
If the money's right, I'll do anything, no problem.
Pat, it's been an absolute pleasure as always. Thanks very much for joining us.
Cheers, thanks for the call, you're a gent.
Cheers, thanks, Pat.
Bye-bye.
Calling all League of Ireland and fantasy football fans. Between the Stripes Charity Fantasy Football League is now open. Simply log on to paypal.me/between the stripes/10 and pay the €10 entrance fee with a percentage of proceeds going to the Attic Youth House in Longford Town. Prove you're the king of fantasy football and win prize money in the process. For further information, email betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. May the best team win.
So we have something very different for listeners of the podcast this week. We've been joined on the phone line now, all the way from Italy. It's Jacopo. I hope I pronounced that right. Apologies if I haven't.
Yeah.
Jacopo, you're an Italian League of Ireland fan. How did that come about?
Yeah, hi lads, and thank you for having me there. Yeah, I started following the League of Ireland in 2008, and I came in Ireland traveling to learn English, to improve my English with my school, and we were in Bray. So we catched up a game there. It was a Bray Wanderers versus Galway United game, and it was won by Galway United 1-0. And there was the same problems with the crowds in Bray at the time, and now nothing has changed despite the fact that they were a team that always avoided relegation in the playoffs or in the last games of the leagues, and now they are a very good team, but the crowd are still a problem there.
so you could see the problems all the way from Italy, but the FAI couldn't see them.
Yeah, I know the FAI have some problems with the leagues, but they are doing nothing to improve, and that's wrong in my opinion, because there is some talent in the league, and we have shown in the last years, so it's a pity that the FI can do things well, and because this league is a talent, this league has something to show, especially in Europe, and we will talk about that
surely later.
Yeah, well, anyway, we'll go on to the European ties from last week now. Obviously, I know Dundalk will be one of the teams you follow very closely, and they had a great run in Europe last year, but fell just so short this year against Rosenborg. And Cork City as well, very disappointing. So what was your views on those ties?
I think that it's never easy for League of Ireland teams to do well in Europe because all the teams are unseeded because of the ranking from the previous seasons. So you have always to play the best team in the first round. And playing Rosenborg are a very good team and they did very, very well in Europe. They reached the quarterfinals of the Champions League 10 years ago, so they are regular in Europe. And was the same the last year against Bate Borisov and Zenit and all the teams that have played. So it's never easy. And this time on that team is weaker than last season. Because I think that with the team of last season, with Boyle in defense, with Ari Lorcan, would have been much easier for Dundalk to beat Rosenborg. They were nothing special in both legs. And in the end, Dundalk conceded a scrappy goal in the first game at Orly Park. And even in Norway, they conceded a goal that was avoidable. And anyway, their goalkeeper made a couple of good saves, so Dundalk did very, very well. I was happy with the performance in both games, but in Europe, you can't make mistakes. Dundalk made mistakes in the first game, and even maybe in the second one. Rosenborg didn't, so they deserve to play against Celtic, and they're playing tonight, so...
I know after that game, you posted quite an emotional tribute to the Dundalk team on social media, saying that you felt so sorry for them that they didn't get through and that you felt part of Oriel Park. How did you become to get such a close connection with Dundalk Football Club?
I started closing them in 2012 when the famous season when they were very, very close to extinction. They avoid relegation against Waterford in a thrilling play out. It was a very, very similar story to what happened to my local team here in Italy. I live in Chioggia, which is a town of 50,000 people, so a quite large town. And we had a very good team playing in Serie D, which is like the conference in England, just to make a comparison. And we fight for promotion to Serie C, so the League 1, League 2. For three, four straight seasons, we played the teams like Tarpi, Perugia, teams that played in Serie A and Serie B in the recent years. And anyway, my team went bust in 2011, so just two years before, I started following closely Dundalk. Dundalk avoided going bust since then, and since then they had an incredible rise, because since arrival of Stephen Kenny, second, the first year, three titles in a row, the FA Cup, the great run in Europe, and so it was an incredible story, especially in the League of Ireland, a league that where there are very few money, where it's very difficult to get good players, and where all the players, when they do well one season, they go away. We started with Patrick Coban, Richie Cowell, and of course now Daryl Holgan last season, and I think that Patrick McLean will be the next one, surely, because you can't keep the best players in this league, it's obvious, because there are no money.
And Jacobo, it's John here. How often are you over here then to watch matches?
I went six times. My first time in Dundalk was in 2013, the last game of the season against Cork City. Dundalk won 4-0.
Okay.
After that, I came to the game against Bray Wanderers, the last away game of the season, where Dundalk drew 1-1. It was a very Irish night, very cold, very late night. And when Dundalk won the league in the last game against Cork. After, then I came in the Champions League against Bate Borisov, the 0-0 draw. 2015, the FA Cup in November, and last season I came for the game against AZ Alkmaar in the Europa League.
Wow, so you'd be over regularly enough, and are you one of these fans who takes control of Dundalk on Football Manager or FIFA and leads them to glory?
No, to be honest, I don't like playing game like that. I was a regular player of Football Manager in the past, but I know that a lot of people... I start following the League of Ireland and any other leagues. I know, for example, here in Italy, there are clubs of supporters of Lutheran in the League One in England because they start playing with them in
FIFA. That's right, yeah, you hear those stories, yeah.
I'm not a fan of this, to be honest, because if you start playing with a team, maybe a random team from Poland, and you start following them, you have to feel something inside.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel something for them, especially because it was a very similar story to what happened to my local team here. And after that, They had the happy ending. We hadn't. Now we are back. They come back, had a fantastic race in Europe. This season, it didn't went well, but anyway, the name of Dundalk is in the map of Europe, and the same is for maybe Rovers, Cork, and all the teams. The League of Ireland is growing in Europe, the respected team they have, because I've never seen a team like Rosenborg came into Ireland just to draw. Something we have never seen years before. They came here to Ireland and they say it's an easy game. Now it's not an easy game. And the same is in the Europa League and against the other teams.
Well, we want to thank you very much for coming on the show. We're definitely going to extend you an invite sometime to come down to the City College Stadium. We'd love to make you feel a part of everything at Longford Town as well and take in a game there sometime.
Yeah, that would be great. And thank you for bringing them. And very well done for doing that. The League of Ireland need exposure. And you are doing very, very well. Your gap and your time that you are dedicated to that, huge respect for you.
Well, thanks very much. It's great to know we have some listeners in Italy as well. So we want to thank you very much and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Jacobo.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Slán an bhaile. So I might have said his name about three different ways and all wrong, John, but that was an absolutely fantastic interview.
Isn't it great to see somebody, you know, from so far afield, you know, take such interest in the League of Ireland? It's fantastic. And he knew his stuff, didn't he, as well?
Really did. Probably knows more than most Irish people do about the League of Ireland.
Get him hosting the podcast next week.
I think so, yeah. So that rounds up our European coverage this week, John. Moving on, it is an FAI Cup special after the draw this week. We all love a big FAI Cup draw, so you've picked out some ties for us.
Yeah, and there's a few. There's going to be a few big scalps here, Kieran, because there's a few old Prem League ties. So Harps against Bohemians, you know, so one of those is going to go. There's also Bray against Cork. Which is, I mean, that's a massive
standout. They must be sick of looking at each other after playing recently in league. Same with Bowes and Harris. I suppose that's the downside to the cup. But.
And what about this one? Dundalk against Derry.
Yeah, that's a big one. I was actually at the Dundalk and Derry league game a couple of months ago in Oriel Park. Wasn't a great game, to be honest, but they were evenly matched sides on the day. Even though Dundalk missed a lot of chances, they played poorly on the night. So that'll be an interesting cup tie for sure.
Yeah, so Cork the holders, would you expect them to get past Bray? Bray are in a bit of a mess at the moment.
Yeah, with everything going on at Bray at the minute, we'll discuss that later on in the show. The news came out today that players aren't going to receive any guarantee on the investment until after the transfer window has closed, so
yeah.
That's scandalous really, but I don't see how the player's head can be in it. If it is, then fair play to them. They're better than most players would be. Most players would look for an excuse, but I can't see how they're going to overcome Cork there, even without Seanie Maguire.
Yeah, well, me being used to FA Cup round three, I immediately look and see what non-league clubs can get through, and it's no different here. So there's a few old non-leagues that junior club ties. So Cove Wanderers against Killarney Celtic, that's a bit of a derby.
Yeah, must a derby there. Cove Wanderers would have a few ex-league round players, particularly Martin Deedy, former Longford Town and Cove Ramblers man. Killarney Celtic, I wouldn't know a lot about them, to be honest with you. But I'd expect Cove to come through on that one with the home advantage.
Yeah, and then you've got Bluebell United against Sheriff YC. Now, Sheriff would be a big name in junior circles, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but they've lost Johnny Lester in recent weeks, as we heard on last week's show, and we had Junior Soccer Portal on, so he'd be a big blow. He's a big part of how they play. But they have a lot of excellent players and great tradition. They had a good run in the Cup a couple of years back. You might remember they actually were knocked out by ourselves, but really put up a fight. They knocked out Athlone over a replay. So I'd give Sheriff the upper hand in that tie, John.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. And then finally, there's Bangor Celtic against Everton. I've been doing some research on this one. I fully expect the Scousers to beat the Welsh side with that one.
Brilliant, John. I'm not sure what type of maths you're using, but some great research from yourself there.
Yeah, and of course, what we really like is the upsets, don't we? We like the league sides to get beaten. So we've got we've highlighted a few here. So I'm looking at Evergreen against Drogheda, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a great chance for Evergreen there. They're a club with great tradition, great facilities, a lot of excellent players, ex-League of Ireland players too. Drogheda, as we know, are an absolute mess at the moment. So I really fancy Evergreen to upset them there.
Yeah, that I think that could be one for the charity bet.
Maybe, if we keep it going, because we're not doing so well at the moment.
No, we need to pick that up.
Moving on.
Yeah, look at this one. Kilester against Galway.
Yeah, well, Kilester are a team that Longford Town fans would know about. I know the Leinster Senior Cup doesn't have the same prestige as the FAI Cup, but they did knock the town out of that a couple of years ago under Tony Cousins. So they've shown their pedigree for upsetting League of Ireland sides, sure. And with Galway in a relegation battle at the moment, I think that's something that might affect a lot of the ties. They may take their eye off that one slightly, so there's a chance for Colchester, but Galway seem to be just picking up their form at the moment, and I expect them to overcome that one.
So two ones we're really going to focus on, and we're going to talk to the Port manager next week. And Port Manic have drawn St. Pat's at home.
Yeah, so it's a Dublin derby there. It should be a good draw for both sides. Hopefully a big crowd will turn out for that one. Again, as I've just mentioned, Pat's relegation battle, so it might take the eye off it slightly. But similarly, in the other tie, Galway, they've just picked up form at the right time, so maybe the Cup can even be a distraction from the league, and they can go on a good run in that, and it'll go hand in hand in their form-wise.
And I believe Port Manic have one of Longford's old captains playing for them.
Yeah, I just found this out today, actually. I just had a quick phone call with Willie O'Leary, the Port Manic manager, and he's going to be joining us next week on the show. But Conor Powell is now a member of the Port Manic squad, so an interesting one there.
So we can see Pat's getting some joy down the right wing.
don't be so harsh, John. But moving on then, it's our next guest is the captain of Ballycollig, so we're going to speak to David in a moment. They've been drawn at home to Athlone Town, so is that another one where we could see a potential upset?
I think so, yeah. Athlone, I tipped them to win last week, and they got thrashed, so we won't listen to my tips anymore. Ballycollig are playing quite a low level, and probably the lowest team it's still in this draw, so I'll be really interested to talk to the captain and how they're going to approach this one. But sure, they've got every chance against Athlone.
Would that be Roddy's worst nightmare, getting knocked out to a non-league side?
The horrors, wouldn't it? Absolute horrors, but you can see it happening.
Well, let's see the chances of it. We're going to speak to David Sweeney now, who is the captain of Ballincollig. So we're joined on the phone line now by the captain of Ballincollig, of course the Cork-based club, who will face Athlone Town in the first round of the FAI Cup. It's David Sweeney. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me on.
So David, it's a big name club you're going to be facing. I know Athlone are having a hard time over the last couple of years, but it's still quite a prestigious draw for yourselves. Excuse me. You must be excited for it.
Ah, we are. You know, we went up to the draw last Friday in Kilkenny, and I suppose when we went up there, there was part of us were saying, would it be nice to get another amateur club and maybe progress on with a slightly easier tie? But, you know, I think when Athlone Town came out of the hat, we were all sneakily kind of delighted that we're going to bring the League of Ireland that position down to Cork.
So for those of us that don't know a lot about Ballincollig, you're a Cork-based club, excuse me, but what's the history of the club and that type of thing?
Well, the club here, we were a small village outside Cork City until maybe about 10, 15 years ago, and the town itself started expanding massively. We're almost part of Cork City now. There's a big population of maybe about 25,000 people. At the moment, our senior team, we're playing in the Munster Senior League. We were in the second division last year, but we won that, thankfully, so we're playing first division next year. So we're like any amateur club in a big county. You know, we have everything from the academy the whole way through to the school by system, and then all the way up to junior, over 35s, and of course ourselves, the senior team. And as I already said, we're playing Munster Senior League.
Yeah, David, I was just going to ask you about the youth policy. I see you've had some great success down there. What do you put that down to?
Yeah, I suppose in the last 10, 15 years now, so it's like you have big names like Colin Healy, Liam Miller, who came through our youth kind of academy, through our youth system, and they were lucky enough to go over to Scotland and on to England and get Irish caps. You know, again, it's a massive sporting town we have here in Ballincollig. You know, the rugby club is playing at a very high level. The GAA club, they won the county championship a couple of years back, and they were in the final again last year. So, you know, it's a good sporting town, I think. Again, with the population we have, even though it's nearly 25,000 people, that's nearly, there's a couple of cities in Ireland who might even have that sort of attendance. So it would be one of the bigger towns in the country. So again, we've a nice big pot to choose from, I suppose.
Okay, so just going back to this cup tie. So tell us a little bit about your players to watch. Who should we be looking out for on your side? Who's going to win the match for you?
Well, strangely enough, we went through our whole season last year, and we used to go into most matches playing in our own league, and we used to always say the best thing that we had going for us was that we kind of have match winners all over the park. And I know it's an old cliche to say, like, but we're lucky in a way that we don't rely on, we'll say, one player to come up with 20 odd goals a season. We do have a lot of, you know, exciting, especially young players coming through that can get us. We can actually get goals from all over. Also, as well, last year, I think we had the best defensive record in our league. And I'm pretty sure we've one of the best defensive records in the whole Munster Senior League. So, you know, I think if you can keep it tight and you can nick a few goals from all over the park, you'll be doing well.
And you're up against a wily competitor in Roddy Collins there. Do you have, he's just signed Stephen Walsh and Ender Curran from Longford, our club that we follow. Have you had any plans to deal with the physical Ender Curran there?
Well, you know what? We try to treat every game as, no matter how big the occasion is, whether it be FA Cup or whether it be one of our local cups, we treat every game the same. We prepare the exact same. Although there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes with the club for this big game, us as a team, 20 players, the management staff, we don't leave a rock unturned. We prepare as normal. Of course, we'll do our homework on the opposition. The one thing our management, within Paul Doyle, the one thing he doesn't ever shy away from is doing his research on the opposition. And strange enough, this will be one of the easier games to actually do a bit of research on because of the League of Ireland status. So we'll be ready for it, and look, without giving away too much, we'll have our system right and we'll be ready on the day.
Very good. And come on, I want a prediction, David. Are you going to beat them?
Do you know what? No. I suppose at the end of the day, everyone will say it's a cup tie. You know, we're certainly not going out there just to make up the numbers. We're going to go out there, we're going to give it our all. And stranger things have happened. I was at the draw last week and they mentioned about St. Francis went down and won the competition many moons ago. You know what? Like, we joke about it at the club. We're 5 games from Europe. That's the way we look at it.
Do you know, I was just going to ask about that because I love to see that. I was just looking at that today and the way you put it, 5 games away from Europe. That was fantastic. Great to see. And, you know, you've got to have some ambition, haven't you?
Well, you do look, and we have 6 or 7 lads on our team now who are 18 years of age. And sometimes you worry about the younger fellas because, you know, with the big occasion coming up. But these guys, our club, Ballincollig, we won the FAU Cup 2 years ago. The guys we're bringing in, the experience we have already in the team, I don't think the occasion is going to phase them any bit. We'll be ready for it. And if you don't have ambition, I don't think you have anything in the sport. There's no point in being there.
David, can I just ask you, obviously with Cork City's success this season as well, have Ballincollig and clubs in the surrounding areas, are they gaining from that? Is there maybe more young fellas looking to play football and been inspired by the likes of Shawnee Maguire?
Oh, 100%. I think, like, you can see it alone by the attendances that are turning up at Turner's Cross. And, you know, we're lucky that the goalkeeper for Cork City, Martin Nulty, is an ex-Ballincollig player as well. And, you know, over the summer there, the little summer camps that the club had going, Mark was out, he was helping goalkeepers. They always come out. We had Colin Healy down last season helping us with coaching. You know, I think it's great to see them guys who are playing at that such a high level coming back and helping their own clubs. And I'm sure it goes on throughout the whole county and all over the country.
Well, David, hopefully we're going to see Ballincollig progress and maybe get a home tie against Cork City. That'll be stuff of dreams. And as Longford men, of course, we always love to see Athlone turned over. So we're going to wish you the very best of luck with that one.
I have your support, so at least on the day. Thanks very much.
David, thanks very much for joining us and best of luck.
Good luck, David.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
See ya.
Are you involved in a local, national or international business? If so, Between the Stripes may be the perfect advertising partner for your company. We are currently offering low-cost, high-return sponsorship packages to cater for businesses small and large. For more information, email us on betweenthestripes1924@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Well, Kieran, that was a great interview. I can't believe the quality of players that come out of the club.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't do an awful lot of research before that interview. Yeah. So fantastic to hear the players that come out of that club. And I really do think they have a fantastic chance to listen to David. They seem full of confidence.
Yeah, a young, hungry side by the sound of it. That and they sound like they're going to do the research. And, you know, surely they've a chance against Athlone at the moment.
Great times for Cork football.
Oh, isn't it just? Yeah, and it's great to see the success of Cork is spurring clubs on like that.
So we've picked out the notable draws, John. We're not going to go through them all because obviously we're going to have to talk about them again in a few weeks when these ties actually happen. But we're just going to round it up with obviously our own big draw.
Yep.
It's the M4 Derby. Sligo Rovers are going to be coming to the City Calling Stadium. You'd imagine they'd bring a big crowd and it'll probably be the biggest crowd that attends City Calling all season.
I would have thought so, and you know, I'd be appealing for Longford Town fans to get out to that match and
let's get
some huge numbers there. Yeah. You know, I'd fancy us for that.
I really do. Yeah.
I think it's important to snuff Quartararo out because I think he's still there.
When is that? Because Quartararo was sent off at the weekend, so he's obviously suspended for the next couple of games. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it might fall into that.
13th of August, and probably not. Probably just misses out there. I think he's probably only get 2-game ban.
So. It was straight red, wasn't it?
Straight red, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's possible that he could be suspended for that.
Hopefully, it's extended. Sorry, Raf.
Yeah, exactly. But we don't want to see you playing that match, to be honest. Look. You know, it's a winnable tie. You know, I don't think we could have, if we were going to get a Prem side, we wanted one of the ones that was struck. They're going to concentrate on that relegation battle.
Yeah, unlike Pats and Galway, they haven't picked up in form, so they're struggling majorly. Exactly. They haven't brought in any, Reece McHale I've mentioned a couple of times on the show, he's been a great signing, but bar that, there's talk of Vinnie Fatterley possibly making a move, so that would be a big heartbreaker to ourselves if he was to play in that one, because he's quality player.
Yeah, and of course Fenn's playing some great football. Fenn's
playing some fantastic football. I know they haven't spoke to him after the Wexford game for local radio that he wasn't happy with the performance, but they got the win, and that's the difference under Neil Fenn. The games all season, the team have been playing well but not getting the results. On Friday night we've seen a team not playing their best and they got the result, and quite comfortably. I know there was a red card and a late goal for Wexford, but in truth they held on quite comfortably.
And yet another you go on the podcast and you do well, Sam Verdon.
Yeah, debut goal for Sam Verdon just after speaking to us. That's Gary Shaw that got a goal a couple of weeks ago after being on, and we've had managers come on and their team has won, so it's a real lucky charm at the moment.
Exactly, but I think I'm hopeful we can get through that one, Kieran, but I'm looking forward to the actual experience. It's going to be hopefully a great turnout and a great match.
Yeah, the first division's a graveyard this season. You know, top team goes up, Waterford runaway leaders, they're going to win it, there's no playoffs. So this is the first game where there's going to be a real buzz around the town. I'm really looking forward to it. And the football we're playing, I think a lot of people will come out and watch us.
And I'm going to nick a quote here. 5 matches from Europe.
Brilliant. So it's time to go to the bread and butter this week, John. It's to the Premier Division results. And we'll start off at Dalymount Park, where Derry City were 1-0 winners over Bohemians.
Yeah, Barry McMeagh game with a goal for Derry there.
Yeah, a red card as well for Aaron Barry, so Derry having to hold out that one with 10 men, but an excellent result for Kenny Shields' side. Are Bohemians now dragged back into the relegation fight, though? That's the big question after that one.
Well, what's happened to Bose? I was raving about them 3 or 4 weeks ago, and now they seem to be back in trouble. You know, it's
the one thing I would say there, though, Jean Akinade is back now, and he looked very dangerous against Derry. Of course, he was the reason Barry got sent off. He was in on goals and pulled
down, wasn't he? Yeah.
I think what you described that as was an excellent red card from Aaron Barry.
Professional
foul is exactly the term I was looking for. So I think with Akinade back on the side now, and obviously Dinny Corcoran is still there, he should take the pressure off Corcoran, and we should see some more goals from Bohemians.
You're talking about the bottom there, but I'm going to say, is it now a shootout between Derry and Rovers for third?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, so, of course, Derry did themselves even more favours by that late result against, late goals against Harps.
Yeah, Harps 4 points clear of the relegation zone at present. They're just slightly getting dragged back into it now again, but they have a great chance with their next fixture coming up to extend the gap at the bottom. But we're going to move on now to Richmond Park, where it was a huge 3-1 win for St Pat's over Bray, who took the lead in that game with a stunning Gary McCabe free kick.
Oh, great free kick, wasn't it? And a flat from Cherry for the equaliser.
Yeah, I thought Cherry was actually a fall for 2 goals. And I know I put this up on social media and I got a bit of backlash for it during the week. But I thought he was obviously a fall for that one, where he came and got caught under the ball and flapped at it and didn't get it. And Pat's got the equaliser. But there's also for O'Hanlon's third goal. It was a poor kick out from Cherry. Pats ended up winning very easy possession off it and were in on goal in a split second, and O'Hanlon took it well, the former Longford man. But that's a huge win for Pats, and I'd have to pinpoint Killian Brennan there as a huge influence since he signed. They've really turned things around.
Yeah, they're starting to look a really different side, aren't they?
I think the difference is the likes of Brennan have come in and they're creating chances now for Fagan, who got a goal in that one and looked to his best again.
He did. Good finish, actually, for that second goal.
Speaking of a taking goal as well, a hat-trick for Gavin Houlihan in the 4-1 win for Galway at home to Drogheda, who are surely gone now.
I need to ask you about this man, Gavin Houlihan. What a hat-trick. You are not going to see a better hat-trick than that, Kieran.
All three of them over the goalkeeper's head. Absolutely amazing. A former Drogheda player putting the drogs to the sword.
Yeah. But what a hammer blow for Drogheda.
They're finished.
Ah, they're in big, big trouble. Do you think it's all over for them?
Yeah, it's all over for them. They signed Chris Mahal last week, and he made his debut, and he actually got an assist for Stephen Elliott, the former Republic international, for drogs to pull it back to 2-1. But they just absolutely capitulated after that, as they have done for the majority of the season, and there's absolutely no way that team is staying in the Premier Division.
Yeah, just couldn't get over Gavin Houlihan, and where's he been all season? That was just an immense performance.
I was always a big fan of Houlihan during his time with Drogheda. He looked a player to have absolutely fantastic technical ability in that number 10 position. He then moved on to Cork City, didn't get a look in there, maybe through his own luck, I don't know, or just wasn't fancied by John Caulfield. But he's gone to Galway now, and he's been quiet all season, but he absolutely sparked into life the other night.
Stunning performance.
And also a big shout out for Lee Grace, his first League of Ireland goal, and I know Galway fans have been raving about him on social media recently.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? It's good signs for Galway, but we can't forget who it was against. Poor Drogheda Alfred.
Yeah, it's been a bad week for the people of Drogheda. They have no water and they're not going to have a Premier Division team next season.
That's for sure.
A poor game at the Market Fields, a scoreless draw between Limerick and Sligo Rovers, and Sligo Rovers look bang in trouble. But are Limerick now in danger of being dragged down into a dogfight?
I don't think so, but to be honest, they should have won that. Slingerman with some good saves.
Yeah, they missed a lot of chances. Benno was the main man there, and I can only see him improving next season. He looks to be an absolute quality player.
He does. I think a bit more power about him. He's got the pace, hasn't he? Yeah. And you know my opinion on that front too. I think the quality, but I was surprised that they didn't manage to beat Slingerman on the night.
Yeah, Stephen Kenny came off the bench there. He's a player that was very, very highly thought of during his time at Cork City as a player that would be a big prospect. Didn't really happen. He's gone to Limerick. He's been quiet there as well all season, but he came off the bench the other night and actually ended up getting the Man of the Match award. He was absolutely fantastic down the wing, some excellent balls into the area. So I think he might come into the team now towards the end of the season with the pace of Ogbonna there. I think we're going to see a lot more goals from Tossi again, who's kind of fizzled away in the last few weeks.
Yeah, he's still a physical presence up front though, isn't he? But we talked about it earlier, Raf Kotaro sent off. That's going to be a big blow for Sligo,
big,
isn't it?
Big blow to their survival hopes. But both managers, Neil McDonald and Jared Little, seem to be really struggling to adapt to the League of Ireland.
Yeah, now what about that match, Dundalk losing it on to Rovers?
Yeah, you can't really blame the European hangover considering the Rovers were coming back from the Czech Republic themselves.
Yeah. Cruyff-like turn from Gary Shaw.
Turning Gartland inside out. Yeah. I actually only realised today when I was watching Soccer Republic back the Longford connection on that goal. An assist from Ryan Connolly, former low knee at Longford, setting up Shaw, who took his goal brilliantly. And he's hitting a little patch at the moment now.
Yeah, another fella I want to talk to you about, the Rovers goalkeeper. He's really impressed me, Chinchinski.
Chinchinski, yeah. He an excellent save when the game was 0-0 against Dylan Connolly, who, as I mentioned earlier, he hasn't sparked into life, but it's early days and he does look to be getting there. Had he got that goal, I think, in this game, he probably would have burst into life. But Chinchinski, he had a rough patch mid-season there. You might remember that horrendous mistake he made down at Turner's Cross when he kept the ball in play when he really shouldn't have, and just teed up Sean Maguire for the easiest goal he'll ever score in his life.
Yeah.
But I suppose the worrying development after that game was, I'm not sure if you've seen it, Chinchinski's tweet after the game, where he claimed he was subject to some racial abuse. We won't go much further into that, but obviously disappointing to hear stuff like that.
Sure is, yeah.
And then you mentioned earlier on a 2-0 win away from home for Derry City in the derby against Harps.
Yeah, two late goals, wasn't it? I think we put the mockers on Ollie Hogan, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't think they're in danger of being dragged into a relegation fight, because they're playing Bray next, and with everything going on at Bray, you'd really give Harps a chance there, and if they were to win that one, they'd extend it to a 5-point gap at the bottom. So I'm still going to give the little man Harps a shout to stay up this season. I think all kind of First Division fans in particular really want to see Harps stay up this season.
Yeah.
Considering so many of the teams voted for the 10-team division, but the ones that did vote for it seem to be struggling most this season.
So tell us fixtures coming up then.
Yeah, the headline fixture in the Premier Division this weekend is the Dublin Derby at Tala. It's Rovers against Bowes.
It's always tasty, that one.
Yeah, what way do you think that will go?
Just starting to worry a little bit for Bowes. You know, they were going so well and they've just slipped up a bit these last few weeks. I think Rovers will beat them, to be honest.
I'd have to agree with you there. We'll move on. Drogheda hosting St Pat's. It's surely last chance saloon, but we seem to be saying that every week for Drogheda and they're just not delivering.
Is Garvin suspended?
Garvin is out with that one, yeah. But as we said, Killian Brennan looks to be a new player playing against the former club, the club he left, so that could be quite a headline there.
Look, I can't see anything. Pats are rejuvenated. I can see them beating Drogheda quite easily.
So you can't see anything other than a Pats win there, John. Can you see anything other than a Cork win down at Turner's Cross against Galway?
Really impressed with Galway at the weekend, but like I said before, it was against Drogheda. And
life starts without Seanie Maguire here, though.
Well, it does, and who's going to step up to the plate and score the goals?
That's the big question. I know John Sullivan mentioned earlier he thinks Kieran Sadler is going to be a revelation coming years for Cork City, but as we've discussed on the show, he's not a natural striker.
No. And I think they might be looking at somebody else, probably in the to bring in somebody else.
Only a couple of days left now, John, so it's probably looking unlikely at this stage.
I think for next season they'll have to, but look, I can't see anything other than Cork win, really.
Some big transfer headlines coming out of Galway ahead of this game. Charlie Burns has signed today, a goalkeeper from the MK Dons, but he's most likely going to be backup. But as I mentioned earlier on the show, Vinnie Fatterty has been linked with a move to Sligo.
Good move for Sligo, that, I think.
It would be if that does come to pass. But he's only scored 2 goals this season for Galway, which is very surprising. But as we know, he is a quality player, and Sligo are lacking goals. They were relying on Quartaro. He's going to be suspended for the next while, so that would make perfect sense, that signing.
He's been a bit in and out of the side, hasn't he, there at Galway? And I think
I think the prevalence of Ronan Murray this season is probably undone Vinnie Fatterty.
Exactly. So who knows, fresh start. You can see him banging the goals in somewhere else.
So we're going for a Cork win there, all in all.
I think so.
Yep. Moving along, it's Bray versus Hearts at the Carlisle Grounds.
Yeah, well, Bray at the moment, so you don't know what's going on still, do we? But the players are staying, are they?
The players have been told today, according by all media reports, that they're not free to leave the club, despite the fact that a guarantee on new investment into the club will not be reached until after the transfer window is closed. And naturally, that's caused outrage on social media, considering these players have a livelihood and should be free to speak to other clubs, despite the fact they're under contract. But just a ridiculous situation at Bray. You'd wonder how the morale will affect them ahead of this game.
Indeed. Well, one thing you can guarantee with Bray's goals. So I'd expect goals, but that's to picking a winner there. That's going to be tough, aren't
it? Bray down to fifth now. The European dream is starting to fall away.
Oh, I think that's well gone.
Do you think it's gone?
Yeah, definitely.
And as we mentioned, Harps here, big game in hand for them. They can go 5 clear with a win. So
yeah, can you see him sneaking something?
I think this is actually going to be the opposite of Bray's previous home games. I don't think we're going to see a lot of goals in this one. I think it could be decided by a tight one. I tipped Harps to win against Drogheda a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to tip them to beat Bray here.
Okay, fair enough.
On Saturday night then, it's a very interesting tie, I have to say. Maybe one we would have associated with the higher reaches of the table in recent years, but Sligo Rovers looking to avoid relegation with a win over the champions Dundalk, coming into this off the back of defeat to Rovers and, of course, Rosenberg.
Yeah, Dundalk... of course, they were unlucky against Rosenberg, but...
That defeat to Rovers has got a sting, though.
I think so, yeah. They're certainly not at the best. And, Paddy Barrett's has been a bit disappointed recently, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been very poor this season. I know, speaking to a lot of Dundalk fans, they're not happy with his performances. And I think players like Paddy Barrett and some of the newer signings that come in, I think, in all honesty, they're playing for their future for next season under Stephen Kenny.
Yeah, well, he's going to want to see an improvement, that's for sure. And he's going to want to see something from Dylan Connolly as well.
Yeah, as we've mentioned, he hasn't really fired into life, but this is certainly the game where he could do that. And as we've mentioned as well, no Quartaro for Sligo. So
that's massive.
So give us the shout there, John.
Yeah, Dundalk win.
Dundalk win. And finally then, Derry City taking on Limerick in a rearranged game. Obviously, Derry were in European action a couple of weeks ago. Derry going to be looking to put some pressure on Dundalk in second place.
Yeah, they won the last two, haven't they? And they've really tightened up since that European match. They haven't conceded a goal in the last couple of matches as well. So... But they're up against Limerick with Ogbeni and his pace, and so it's a difficult one to call.
Yeah, Limerick very unpredictable this season, and as we mentioned, Neil McDonald doesn't seem to be firing yet.
No.
I know he hasn't had the chance really to bring in his own players, but that'll be the test for him next season, I suppose. But Kenny Shields seems to be doing a really good job again this season, and I'm going to go for the home win.
I fancy a dour draw there.
Oh no, John, no. Moving along to the second here, John, it was a 1-0 win for Cabinteely against Shells. I tipped Shells to finally overcome the curse of Cabo, who they haven't beaten this season, but it wasn't to be. It was a 90th minute winner from Jack Watson.
Yeah, well, don't talk to me about tipping sides, because I had a mare last week. So, Cabo, they're a bit up and down. Same with Shells, a bit of a recovery recently, but they'll be disappointed with that.
Yeah, UCD 4-0 winners against Athlone. You certainly had an air on that one.
Yeah, I had Athlone down to win that one, didn't I? So that went well.
George Kelly hat-trick for UCD, and he's now the top scorer in the First Division, which is a major shock. I think a lot of people would have backed Mark O'Sullivan or Davy McDade from Watford to be top scorers. He's 3 clear of O'Sullivan now, so he doesn't look like he's going to be caught before the season's out.
Yeah, I know, and where do Athlone go?
Yeah. A minus 30 goal difference for Athlone now after that drumming at the UCD ball.
Oh, look, they're going to need those new signings to click quickly, aren't they?
Yeah, they're just... It's been a disaster of a season for Athlone, even with Roddy coming in. So
yeah.
I think it's just all focus on next season, if there is going to be a next season for Athlone.
Yeah.
I know, all rivalry aside, but fingers crossed for them now.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Major disappointment at the moment, what's going on there. Moving along, Waterford absolutely trounced Cove 4-0, unlike Cove this season.
Yeah, very leaky. And to be fair, Waterford, you know, they've been, it's been coming to this, you know, they've been playing well and they've been due a trouncing of somebody and put a cover on the end of it. And I think that's the league over, Kieran.
Yeah, when we had Stephen Henderson on in the very first episode, we talked about the difficulties of management in the first division and losing players and not being able to attract players. Cove suffered that this week. They've lost Matthew Whelan and Jason Abbott. Mm. One of them's taken up new employment, can't commit, and one of them is, I think, going stateside for a scholarship. So it just shows the many different challenges first division managers face. The only positive for Cove, though, they brought in John Kavanagh on loan from Cork City, the fullback. Yeah. Excellent, excellent signing. He's suffered with injuries in the last while, so hopefully a run now with Cove towards the end of the season can get him firing again. But as you said, it's curtains now. Waterford 9 clear of Cove and UCD, who are basically just going to battle it out for second.
Exactly, yeah. You can't see either of them catching.
And finally, John, then there was a 2-1 win for Longford Town away to Wexford. Sam Verdon debut goal and Tristan Noah-Kaufman, first ever League of Ireland goal. I'd criticised him slightly in the last maybe 2 weeks that his performances had dropped slightly, but he was magnificent down in Wexford again.
Yeah, he's really answered your criticisms there, hasn't he? And as we said before, the between the stripes effect for Sam Verdon, debut goal, and Don Cowan played well setting him up there.
Yeah, I know Thomas Croke, his goal came from about 25 yards for Wexford. For me and a couple of other people at the game, we thought Paul Skinner was caught out badly for that one at his near post. Maybe that's ultra harsh criticism, but it does open up the debate again that we seem to be having every week here, that Jack Brady can't seem to get in the team at the moment.
No, you wonder what's going on behind the scenes there, that he's not getting a chance, because we seem to be talking about goalkeeping errors on a regular basis at the moment.
Yeah, the cup game against Sligo, you'd have to wonder. I asked Neil Fenn for Shannon's side after that game, will he be going all out feeling his strongest team? And he said he will be. So you'd wonder, does Brady fall into that? You would hope he'd get a run in the cup. But
I don't think he's going to bring him in for that, Kieran. Mm. It'd be another league match if he's going to switch the goalkeeper.
A harsh red card. Harsh isn't the word, actually. A disgraceful decision from the referee. Basically, for anyone that wasn't at the game, Keelan Dillon was on the break for Longford Town, and he was essentially rugby tackled by his Wexford opponent. What happened, the two players ended up falling on top of each other. Dillon simply pushed the Wexford player off him.
Yeah.
And next thing, the referee runs over, awards Longford Town a free kick, but produces a red card for Dillon. Absolute madness. And Neil Fenn has video analysis of all the games done. He reviewed the video analysis straight away after the game, and he couldn't believe what he was seeing.
Yeah.
So, hopefully the club can overturn that one. I'm not sure what the rules are on sending in video footage that isn't independent, so we'll have to see what comes of that.
Yeah.
But a poor performance, as we said, but they got the win. And also in that interview with Neil, which I'm going to play for you after this, he said that he's looking to make more signings this week, which is exciting.
Well, I think it's going to be a centre forward now, hasn't it? I can't see.
Yeah, I did ask him that. I don't want to give too much away, because I don't want to bore people having to listen to the same stuff twice. But he did say that he's looking to add in a few areas, he said. But a centre forward would be one area that he's highlighting.
We shall wait and see on that one, Kieran.
So we'll move along to the first division fixtures then, John. We'll start with Longford Town. They're hosting Shelburne on Saturday night at the City Colin Stadium.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Obviously, there'll be no Keelan Dillon because he'll be suspended for that. But I hope Longford's good form continues and we can beat Shells with that one.
Yeah, on the other side, Mark Hughes, former Longford man playing for Shells, he's suspended. So that's two players out with red cards. Longford have two draws and a win over Shells this season. So there was 2-0 draws and a 3-1 win at the City Colin Stadium. And with the football Neil Fenn's team is playing at the moment, I think you'd have to give them the tip to win this one.
Absolutely.
Wexford versus Cove. Can Cove bounce back, or are Wexford going to get off the bottom of the table with a win?
I think the morale must be through the floor at Cove after last week. You know, we saw how disappointed they were with the defeat against Longford going back a few weeks now. But
they've just dropped their consistency towards the end, and that's what's cost them, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said about the players leaving as well, that upset the apple cart.
Yeah, and two players suspended for this game in Stephen Christopher and Craig Donlan. So that's more players, more body short for Cove. So this is going to be a really difficult ask. I didn't think Wexford were superb against Longford or anything like that, but they were, as you would expect from a Wexford team, they were solid and well organised. And in Aaron Dobbs, they have a striker who looks to be a real quality young player. He's on loan from Shamrock Rovers, and I expect him to cause a couple of issues here for Cove.
Yeah, I can certainly see Wexford getting something out of the match.
Yeah, two young teams, so it should be an interesting game. And credit to the groundsman at Ferry Carrick Park. It's one of the pitches that I would have criticised in the past, but a much better playing surface down there the other night. And I think it's something we always see in the league towards the second half of the season. You see the pitches naturally improving with the summer months. So credit to them for that. We should see a good game of football down there, and I think Wexford can get something from that as well. Moving on, it's the Roddy Derby, Waterford against Athlone.
El Colinzio, or whatever you want to call it. So, look, what's the latest on Athlone? More people leaving this week?
Yeah, we've had, we all know at this stage my pronunciation of foreign names isn't great, but Gregor Ross has left the club, as has Hernandez. So, okay. Two more players gone there from Athlone. We've seen, of course, a shock surprise in the very first game of the season when Athlone claimed a 1-0 win over Waterford, but the bookies have Athlone 1-7 for this one, and I can't see any upset coming.
The only question I've got, rugby score or cricket score?
Cricket score.
Okay, Kieran, last one, UCD against Cabo.
Yeah, it's actually a cup rehearsal, John. The two sides have been drawn against each other in the FAI Cup. UCD up to second, so they've been mightily impressive this season.
Yeah, they have, and although they're not going to win the league, get promoted, they can hold their heads up high with that.
Yeah, if they keep this squad together for next season, you never know, especially with, obviously, the playoffs hopefully coming back into effect next season. And I just have to say, I've been mightily impressed with Georgie Kelly. I know I've mentioned it earlier, but to score the amount of goals he has done in a division where there's much bigger star names like McDade and O'Sullivan and even Curran. I know he didn't have a good spell at Longford, but he is quite a big name within the first division, so impressive from him.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of the show, Kieran. A huge thanks to the 250-odd that listened to it last week. We do appreciate your listening.
Yeah, geez, it was a mega effort last week. As we all know, we had 6 guests, 4 different clubs. So we were actually exhausted after recording that one. So it was great to get the amount of listens we did. So thanks for that. Once again, thanks to Lockery's Pharmacy here in Drumlish for hosting us. We're actually going to have something a bit different for you next week. We're going to be Facebook Live and some of the recording going on. So you'll get to see how we work and the amount of effort that does go into it. So once again, just if everyone can give this episode a like, a share, follow us on Mixcloud. And obviously you've heard the advert earlier on for the fantasy football. If as many people can get involved in that as possible, it'd be great. There's loads of League of Ireland players, managers and fans who have entered it already. So for your chance to go up against them and possibly win some prize money, do get involved. But once again this week, thanks very much for joining us, John, and best of luck.
One last thing, Kieran, Facebook Live next week. You can't wear that Dundalk shirt.
Ah, John, you're after exposing me live here. And you're not going to let me cut this part either, are you?
No, I'm afraid not.
Thanks very much, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Between the Stripes League of Ireland podcast. Click the follow button on Mixcloud now and never miss an episode. Want something featured on next week's show or to react to this episode? If so, follow and contact us on Twitter at Between Stripes. Or alternatively, find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, for all the latest news and updates, check out our website, www.betweenthestripesblog.wordpress.com. Thank you for your support.